This is Everyday Wealth with award-winning journalist Soledad O'Brien.
So since everybody's freaked out about inflation, and we like to focus on personal economies, let's do that transition from inflation in the macro to what it means for you personally. What information, what data should you be really looking at, measuring, investigating when you're trying to say, okay, we understand this bigger conversation about inflation, but here's the part of it that actually is impacting my personal finances.
Right. Our own personal economy, our own personal rate of inflation. And I think it's important also to think about what is inflation. I mean, we read about the CPI and we understand in general what inflation is, but what is it really broken down into? Well, first of all, there's eight major groups of goods and services that are broken out into this calculation for inflation. It's food and beverage, housing, apparel, transportation, medical care, recreation, education and communication, and then an other category. We are all impacted in some way by those different measures of inflation, but it's all lumped together in this one inflation number, right? So inflation has in some ways a positive impact in the sense that as a Social Security beneficiary or a military or a federal civilian retiree, that inflation number might actually mean that you are getting a cost of living adjustment or a raise over time because they're tied to the CPI. And it also describes the average consumer. And you really need to think about yourself, and you may not be falling into that average category. Because, for example, if you have a 30-year fixed mortgage, your principal and interest portion of your mortgage, well, that's fixed. That's not going to inflate, but some portion of it may in terms of your taxes or insurance on that mortgage. So it's just starting to really think about what are the areas in your life where you're spending money that are maybe inflating at different rates.
It's such a good point about the cost of living increase that you might get. Social Security recipients are getting the biggest hike than they've gotten in quite some time. And next year's is supposed to be even bigger, which is great for people who rely on that. Your other point, too, about if you own a home, that portion of the index is not impacting you. If you don't have to go out in the market and shop for a car, used car prices have really driven up the inflation rate. So that's not impacting you. So you got to look at it personally and try not to panic. But if you are feeling it, what are some strategies that we can all use to bring our own personal inflation rates down?
Well, the first thing is to think about some of those areas where we do know that are greatly inflated right now and considering scaling back on those. And I'm talking about things like travel. It may not be the greatest time to go out and buy airline tickets and plan a big trip. Maybe thinking about not buying the new house, or maybe it's even time to think about, is it a good time to sell and downsize? So there are some immediate things that we can think about reducing our own personal inflation rate. I think it's important to really keep that cushion in mind. If you know that inflation is 8 or 10%, make sure that you have a little bit of an extra cushion in your budget. And that may mean scaling back on some things that are more discretionary. You know that you need to spend money on gas and food and your mortgage and utilities. Look at the things that you could potentially give up or cut back on. And maybe it's subscriptions to movie channels or music, you know, whatever. Think about doing some of those things now proactively to be prepared. And that also goes for building cash in your cash reserve. Maybe this is a good time to start really actively building up that cash reserve for that potential future need.
You know what? It's a really good time to do, Soledad. And I wonder if you're doing this because I'm catching myself doing it a lot. Use your frequent flyer miles.
Yes, yes. And also, you were just talking about used car prices. We're buying the car we've been leasing because it's a good little safe car for the kids. And the idea of leasing a new car is so expensive. It's actually incredibly inexpensive to just buy the car we're leasing.
Yep.
And they want it back so they can sell it to somebody else. So.
Or more.
We did that. We bought the car off my husband's lease and then sold it.
Right. The car lease hack. So basically the way that these leases work is your residual value is built in when you go to start that lease. So you've already set the price, what that car is worth in 3 or 4 years, whenever the lease is up. So given the massive inflation and used car prices, it might be a lot less than what you could go and buy that car for as a 3 year, that exact same car off the dealer's lot the next day. So even if you don't want the car, maybe it's a good idea to buy out the lease and then turn around and sell it.
I like that. I didn't think about selling it because I actually need a car with the kids.
And if I sell it, then you have to get another car.
Then I have to get another car. And have we mentioned they're incredibly expensive right now?
Used cars up something like 40%. But there are other things that we can think about doing as well. For somebody who's maybe a pre-retiree, getting ready to retire, thinking about it, I mean, that really may mean if your expenses are going up a lot more than you anticipated, maybe that means you're going to be pushing back retirement by a couple of months or a year. Talk to your advisor. Find out if you have taken inflation into account when your financial plan was being built. Can you afford these new expenses that you have if it goes on for a couple of years? And if not, that's when you may want to consider pushing back retirement if you need to. Another thing to think about is we talked earlier about Social Security and the big increases potentially in Social Security and cost of living adjustment in the coming years. A great way to take advantage of this is if you haven't already taken Social Security, maybe you consider pushing it back, because the longer you wait to take it, the more you get. And now that cost of living adjustment is going to be based on the new higher amount.
I think this is all really good advice because, again, it allows you to focus on the data points around inflation that are actually affecting you, as opposed to feeling overwhelmed by the data points that have nothing to do with the way you're living your life.
It's true. And, you know, it's interesting because when we think about inflation, or historically when we've thought about inflation, we'll look at everything and say, okay, it's a 3 or a 4% inflation rate, but we have something over here like healthcare or long-term care that inflate at 6 or 7%, or education that inflates at a higher rate. But interestingly, right now, for those who have a big proportion of their expense going to healthcare, healthcare has only increased at about a 2% rate as compared to everything else. So it really is important to think about your specific, I'll call it budget, day-to-day expenses, and what exposure you have and what it could mean for you in the future. And talk to your advisor about whether or not you need to make adjustments to your financial plan because of it.
Everyday Wealth with Soledad O'Brien and Gene Chatsky is sponsored by Edelman Financial Engines. To learn more, visit our website, everydaywealth.com.